The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, government leaders are due to decide this evening how to begin winding back the temporary fuel excise cuts introduced after April's nationwide fuel protests. There were signals from the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach last week that a phased rollback could be the preferred option, with a gradual reversal of the supports over three stages between now and October. And I am joined now by Nora Strecker, Associate Professor of Economics at UCD. Good evening to you, Nora. This phased rollback that we're hearing about on the excise cuts, is this a good idea?
Yes, I think it absolutely is. Ultimately, what we're worried about is the excise tax coming back at the same time as another spike in energy prices.
Okay, so you're supportive of the phased nature of it. Do you think that the excise cuts should be rolled back on?
Yes, they should be. They're a very costly approach, right? Ultimately, what we're worried about is the cost of fuel impacting households, impacting industry. The problem is this is such a broad measure, such a broad cut across measure for everybody. It does it disincentivizes essentially transitioning to greener approaches.
Okay, and is that the main issue with it? That because you know this is a short term measure, and greener approaches are a long term goal. So are those two things necessarily incompatible, I suppose, is what I'm asking you, because I'm sure you could have long-term green goals but have short-term intervention in this instance.
You could. However, at the moment, this is a very costly approach. If we think about, you know, the amount of money that we're foregoing, and if we're going to invest in greening up our transport system, then that is going to cost money. So if we're spending, if we're not taking in money, but we need to spend money, those two things are incompatible.
Okay. Ultimately. So would you favour then speeding up the phasing out of these excise cuts, or how do you think this should proceed?
This depends so very much on essentially the negotiations between the US and Iran that, you know, those need to be on sort of solid footing before we should start to think about how fast we phase that out.
Okay.
Ultimately.
Well, yes, but I'm just looking at the price of crude oil in dollars. It was $72.48. That was the last price before the Iran conflict. It's $70.50 currently. So we have completely seen a reversal of the price hikes that occurred over the course of the US-Iran conflict. So is that a good starting point to sort of say, well, if those high prices for crude oil have been reversed, well, now is the time to start. And you know, in terms of timelines, should it be the case that we don't see any further price hikes, we get rid of them quickly?
There's two things to that. So absolutely, we have now come back to the point where that we were in, that sort of the end of February, March, where the prices are back down to roughly similar levels. That's great. That's a good place to start. However, volatility is still incredibly high. Volatility is still at more than double what it was over the entirety of the year before the US-Iran-Israel conflict started.
Okay.
So and that's what's essentially creating these massive spikes. And every time there's a flare up of tensions, the volatility jumps up again.
Okay. So I appreciate what you're saying, that stability isn't necessarily going to occur in terms of oil prices anytime soon because of ongoing, I suppose, uncertainty in the region. But is uncertainty is not the same as high prices, and on balance, I suppose what people listening might want to know is your view on, yes, we should start it because it's costly. Yes, we want to transition to green fuels. But what kind of timeline would you see? Because the government are talking about between now maybe and October. Do you think that's fair enough?
It probably is. Ultimately, if we start too soon, we're going to impact a lot of people's ability to travel or willingness to travel and be tourists over the summer. But the longer we wait, the more we're going to impact, you know, the coming sort of autumn and production towards the end of the year. So sometime between now and the beginning of autumn, this needs to have phased out so that we can go into the next budget knowing exactly how much we're going to be taking.
The opposition politicians, Nora, are saying, you know, that we shouldn't do this at all, that we should maintain them until the budget. Do you think that's a bad idea?
What's then to stop anybody from saying, oh, well, there's still no resolution to the conflict, and, you know, we should price it in to the next budget? Now, if that were the case, we you know, we're still increasing our spending, and we would then have less money to plan with for what we're going to do in order to green up production going forward.
Yeah, of course, not all of the monies that we gain from excise is used to green up anything. They're used for many different things. It's not
Absolutely.
All it's not all ring fenced. So it isn't a given that if excise was to be cut or indeed to remain high, that it would have an impact on that. That's a sort of a separate, I suppose, government policy to some extent. So you think that it does need to happen, and the government position then I'm taking from what you're saying, you think is reasonable.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And just with regard to the ongoing situation that we have in terms of the conflict, politically speaking, supposing we do see, and you're quite right, I mean, I think there's a 60-day window now of negotiations that we're going to see between the Iran-US regimes, and I suppose they're going to try and hammer out a lasting peace, as we're being told. Should that all fall asunder, which is not an impossibility, does the rowing back now, or the beginning of the rowing back now, should that happen, is that going to create a difficulty, do you believe, for our government? Because flip-flopping on issues like this, even though they are reactive issues in a dynamic situation, is quite difficult to, I suppose, sell to the electorate politically.
So given that we are at a point where oil prices are quite low, and volatility has decreased, right? It used to be at a high of 8%. We're now at a sort of 3-4%. So, you know, it's coming down. Both of it is sort of decreasing. It's calming in a sense. Now is as good a time as any to start rolling back these tax cuts. If we decide to wait until there's a lasting peace, well, that could take quite a bit longer. And depending on what that peace ends up looking like, it could be quite costly, depending on, you know, what fees might get charged.
And you're saying that we literally can't afford to do that, from what I'm hearing, that this is a very costly intervention. The excise that the money we generate from the excise on fuel is obviously very important to the exchequer. And this is the universality of this intervention an issue for you as well, Nora, the fact that everybody benefits from this rather than maybe a targeted few?
So because it is so untargeted, that's what makes it costly, right? If we were to if we targeted better at specific industries and specific households that really needed the urgent support, like those that have to commute in order to get to work, or those that use that, you know, are sort of in the transport sector, for example, then it would be a lot less costly. It would be easier to sort of safeguard those specific industries. But this cut across measure also means that those individuals that would perhaps use transport a little less, use their cars less, you know, use public transport more because they could afford to, they don't have to change habits.
Okay. Look, thank you very much for joining us. I do appreciate it. That is Nora Strecker there, Associate Professor of Economics at UCD.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.